Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net, for more information. And this week has been interesting. I think I'm back in a lot of ways to the regular Total Education Network before L.A. And Jarrett's been getting a little bit of a taste of L.A. this week, just specifically with the interview with Sean Merriman, to learning all the different things that are happening. And so I want to welcome back my co-host, Jarrett. Jarrett, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Neil. That was a lot of fun doing that interview, and it was really nice to see someone that had a plan and following that plan, and even the way he developed his product so that they were meeting the needs of most people.
Well,
or I should say the resources of most people.
And absolutely. And Jarrett, I really thought that he was amazing, him talking about his MBA and everything. For people not knowing, we did interview Sean Merriman, and that'll air on the network pretty soon. And it was a last minute when my booker, my producer, calls me and says, oh, by the way, you're interviewing Sean Merriman in 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, geez, I know that my business partner is not going to do an interview with only 15 minutes of preparation. So what I did is I texted Jarrett, said, Jarrett, you want to get on the phone? And he said, yeah, and we had a fun time. But what I wanted this topic to be is kind of not a reminisce as much as, you know, how difficult it is to do radio. I mean, we all know one of the stations we started on, and really two of the stations we started on, really it doesn't take much talent to be on those stations.
Well, that I think the fact that we are so successful proves that that it doesn't take much talent to be successful
on
radio. So, and everyone knows that we put a lot of effort and work into this show. They can tell that simply by listening to what we are doing. You know, it's always been a lot of fun for me, though. You know, there is a lot of planning that is involved in setting up interviews, doing interviews, and you know, it's finding out what I want to know is I want to hear what the people we interview have to say.
Right, not hear the host talk all the time. That's one thing we see a lot of times when we tune into radio. The host is doing more of the talking than the person being interviewed.
And, you know, I try to stay away from questions that can be answered with a yes or no. So I'm asking questions that really are open-ended, that are eliciting responses that take several paragraphs for the person we're interviewing to explain and to do. And always keeping it just like we've said to our the parents that we instruct and advise, always keeping it positive.
Absolutely, but we have gone through a lot of different things from the days when we first walked into WRCT studios to trying to do a late night internet radio talk show with a phone to where we are today. It's so fun, but what I think one thing I've learned is I used to be able to do everything on the fly, and I can pretty much do it. But I've learned through more preparation, writing down specific talking points and questions. This is what all publishers should do, is have something set forth and ready for the host. But I do it in my own way still to prepare. And I remember a lot of it, and I have become better at interviewing. I could go and, like I said, did I tell you the story about Miami Book Fair, the last book fair we did live? The publicist goes and says, oh, by the way, what's her name can't show up today? And I prepared last night for her. Oh, but we have this person. And then Eric Remmel and I are going, grabbing our cell phones and starting to search to look and see, what the heck, who's this person? We don't know who it is.
Right.
But it can be done. But I look at it like this. If people are spending their time listening to either internet radio or terrestrial radio that's not on the biggest station, we have to put on the best show possible so that they understand that you don't have to always choose the number one radio station to listen to the show, that there are other products out there that are entertaining. Right, Jarrett?
And that's exactly the approach that we take. And again, I think that's too what makes us different than the other hosts, the other radio stations, the radio shows, I mean, that are really out there, regardless of the topics that they explore. That's another thing that just makes us different. Our topics are usually not what is typically explored. And our approach to it is completely an alternative to what people typically hear.
Exactly, especially when we talk, and WNL's learned this whole process, that we came on really straight-laced to that station and that Wilkins, and now we're coming on a little bit stronger. And it's because we showed that we really were an entertaining show that people wanted back, and we came back, and we wanted to show what we provide in 8 hours of programming a week, or 8 shows a week. And it's a variety of shows. So that's the thing I've tried to do in my time, is say, well, what shows are not out there? A Q&A show I do is not out there. It's not in the mainstream. So when you're talking about topics, a news education news show for – come on now, Jarrett. If you wouldn't have seen some of these news articles, you wouldn't have any idea what was going on in education, would you?
No. A lot of times – the things that we have come up with or are discussing or happen to come across, they're things that would go completely under the radar. Totally missed because they seemingly are not the headline-grabbing stories.
Right, they're not the headline-grabbing stories, but I think they are. I think that, honestly, if you looked at who's being funded by these radio stations and all these different people, they are pro-public education people. That there's union funding, there are funding, and then no one wants to have a huge argument on education, to bring both sides to the table. And a lot of times, political party doesn't matter. That's one thing we've learned in the show, is that if you're a Democrat or Republican, sometimes your same party, we don't agree with what they're doing in education, right, Jarrett? That's one thing we really learned that's interesting through putting out these topics that no one wants to put out there.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure our listeners, I'm sure, are surprised by what we have added or have said at various times, but I myself have been surprised by your views and my own views, just based on all the years we've known each other.
Exactly. Like last night, we did a show that I'll air on the network involving school closings. And in 3/4 of the show, I didn't bring my personal opinion out. And then, bam, I did, because I started thinking about St. Agnes. Then I had to attack everything in the world. But I didn't think of that. Oh, we're thinking about school closing, so I'm going to really keep my focus on news. But we're able to touch a chord. We are not controlled by a radio station. Sorry, guys, all the stations out there that syndicate me, you don't control me. I put whatever content I want on the air. And that's one thing I'm happy that I'm not owned by Clear Channel. I'm not owned by any of the major syndication or ABC, NBC, whatever ones have radio, because I want to speak the truth. I want what I'm talking right now is the same Neil Haley you go and sit down and have a cup of coffee with. That's what I want. So if we're kind of talking about what topic are we talking about tonight for our listeners, the first one. First of all, preparation for questions. Jarrett and I prepare. Coming up with a good topic. Next, being real. If you are fake and you're a show and you're not truly you, the best talk show hosts in America are truly being themselves, regardless if they're people you like or dislike.
Well, you know, we again, this is something we've discussed when we have spoken about other radio shows that were even TV shows that we have come across, the question of, is that person really like that? And I think when you're asking, if you've asked that question, you have questions about the genuineness of that person. You know, are they do they express the way they, their thoughts the way they do, simply to grab ratings, to create sponsors, appeal to a specific crowd, specific set of listeners? And again, if the, even asking that question, I think questions the legitimacy of that. Of that person.
Most definitely. I agree. And that's one of our biggest problems is the integrity. But I think that being real will make you successful. Being real with your listeners and telling the truth. I think those are very important things. I think the other thing that's very important is to make sure that you don't over talk yourself to a point where you talk a topic out. One thing we see with a lot of these internet radio stations, they talk about the same topic over and over and over, and some of these internet radio shows, or even terrestrial. I mean, if you listen to Sean Hannity or you listen to Rush Limbaugh, they're really not, the stuff they're talking about really doesn't change much, does it, Jerry? It doesn't. And honestly,
We've talked about that many times. It's the same premise, maybe a different, a slightly different subject, but the approach to it is the very same thing day after day.
And day after day, same thing, same deal. I've gone to the point where I don't want to. I'm back listening to sports radio again, and I listen to these guys, and they crack me up because they're pretty interesting. One person I was just thinking about, I want Kevin Pitsnoggle on my show. He's selling cars in West Virginia. We need to get him on the challenge. But I just was bringing that up. But no, I mean seriously, it's just amazing to listen to these guys and listen to these talk show hosts, and the egos are so huge. But we want to hear the guest. So I think that the key component, if you want to have a good talk show, is sell your guest or your topic. It has to be about them and not about the roundtable discussion. It has to be about the topic or guest, right, Jarrett?
Absolutely. I've shared this, I think, several times. Very quick approach that I take to it, and that is. A prominent person was having at a meeting with both Winston Churchill and Gandhi, and afterwards explained, wow, it had to be so terrific to be meeting both of those great leaders. And the person said, it was wonderful. Winston Churchill was very interesting. And then she said, and Gandhi was very interested in me. And that's the approach that I take with, that we take with our interviews during our radio shows. We want the person that we interviewed to walk away and say, wow, they were really interested. Neil and Jarrett were really interested in what I had to say.
And that's so true, and that was interesting they said about Gandhi because of his giving and to be really interested in that person. And I think that's the other part of it is you have to forget yourself when you're a talk show host. If you think you're bigger than life, then the problem is you're really not listening to your guest, and that's the next thing. So people out there that want to try to do what we did and where we're at today and where we're going, and like I said before, the sad thing about it is, Jarrett, if it wasn't for a lot of help, we wouldn't get here, meaning the stations, that's one of the greatest things, but also money. Money takes precedent in certain ways to keep going where a lot of people can't. You have to invest at times. We've invested in a radio station for a while. We've invested our time for a long time as well. And then dividends come back and money does come with you. And then that's when you're ready to take off, when you have everything polished and ready to go. So, Jarrett, again, I'm waiting for you to get a Facebook. I'm waiting for you to get a Twitter. I'm waiting for you to use your LinkedIn and to really look at it. But once the book comes out, I have a feeling that you will be back on that saddle, and we have to keep thinking about that. But take care, man, and we'll definitely talk very soon. Today's a very controversial week of the Spotlight Show again. Senator Romero, I guess the head of Democratic Education Reform, will be there with Hamlet Garcia. And Hamlet Garcia is basically that Montgomery County is arrested Hamlet and his wife for saying that they didn't live in the right district and that they were spending at the grandparents' house. They got warnings that they never received warnings that they're wrong. They just threw them in jail. So now there's a big thing. Even we have somebody with the UN on tonight. We're really going after Montgomery County. So that'll be part of the Spotlight show very, very soon. So take care, Jared. You never know who will come on the show next. You never know who's stepping into the hot seat. But you did tonight, and take care, and we'll talk next week, okay?
All right, Neil. Thank you very much for always including me.
All right, take care, Jared. Okay. You're listening to Total Education Spotlight Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net, for more information. One thing I love about my education talk show is I really want to make a difference. I really want to be an advocate for people. And when I met Hamlet Garcia on Twitter, I think it was about 2 months ago, we've been trading tweets back and forth. I've been connecting them to some of my celebrity friends, and he has been connecting me to some very, very connected people in the education world. But after hearing his story last week, I said, well, one segment's not enough. And then how he's been able to bring all these other people to the table tonight to talk about how outrageous Montgomery County, by arresting Hamlet Garcia and his wife and saying this is just outrageous situation. So I want to welcome the program, Hamlet Garcia again. Hamlet, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity once again to be on the show.
Oh, well, I'm going to give you this opportunity all the way till you probably go to the Supreme Court. Who knows what's going to happen in this case, in this situation. But I want, remember we were talking when we got off air, and then I want you to introduce the rest of our panel. Basically, you said you had a big press conference that came up this week. Any news since the last time you were on the show?
Well, we went to the court on Tuesday with my new attorney, Ricardo Corona, from Miami, Florida. And basically, he has to ask the judge for the purpose to be my new attorney because he's from another state. Thanks God that George granted that permit to my new attorney, so he now represents me. But he requests for 60 days so he can review the evidence on my case. Now he's going to interview my witness. He's going to check all the evidence that I've been provided to the previous attorneys, but they never actually look at the evidence. They never decide to interview my witness. For the first time, I feel very happy that I have an attorney that's really looking into this the way they should be and talk to my witness and all the evidence that we have. So far, we're waiting. He's back to Florida now. He's going to start working next week, contacting the people that he had to contact and do his investigation in this case to see how we can resolve this. But the line of communication is open. That's what he told me. He spoke with the DA assistant. He spoke with everyone involved in this case, and he explained that the line of communication is open to resolve this matter in the best way and as soon as possible.
Well, that's tremendous, and now I'm excited to hear the other people on the show so that they can tell how they are for you 110% as well, so not just your new lawyer who's there to really fight for you, but a lot of people across the country heard about this story, and we're bringing a few of them on the show tonight. So, Hamlet, introduce the rest of our panel.
I'm very glad that I have, you know, great people that have been for the day one helping me in this matter. We have Gwen Samuel, president of Connecticut State Union. We also had the senator from California, Gloria Romero, president of the Democrat for Education Reform. And I'm very glad they're here tonight that they can speak and explain a little more about this case and why they really are supporting my family, which I'm very, very grateful for what they're doing.
Well, I'm excited to have you both on the show. Thanks again for coming on, and I've been trading tweets with you, Gwen. So I wanted to get you started first and kind of tell you why you're really for Hamlet in this situation and how you got involved, and then we'll go to Senator Romero right after that, because I know that, Gwen, you're the first person to really step up once you heard about the story, right?
Yeah, so after I heard about parents being arrested for putting their kids in safe and quality schools was back in 2009 when we had an alleged homeless woman put her 5-year-old son in another school district. She was living allegedly in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and she put her 5-year-old son in a kindergarten program in Norwalk, Connecticut. So we hear about this arrest, and I had never heard of such a thing. So I'm thinking it was a misunderstanding, and then come to find out there was another case nationally, Kelly Williams Ballar in Akron, Ohio, and she was arrested, convicted, sentenced to jail. I mean, her father was criminally prosecuted, and when we found out, we just knew this was just wrong. The Constitution in most states in America says that children are entitled to an adequate and a free public education. So why would we be arresting parents for ensuring their children are educated in the country? So that's where we took on the issue in 2011. And then what I'm thinking that we're working on these two cases, and these were isolated. And then we heard about Mr. Hamlet Garcia, and then for us it was enough is enough. This has gone too far. We as a country, we shouldn't be stooping to this level to ensuring that penalizing parents for doing what's best for their children. So we took this issue by the horns. Then we got a chance to meet with Kelly Williams Ballar. Then we met with Mr. Garcia. And they're just hardworking individuals who just want what's best for their children. And to know that parents, and to know that there are counties out there that are prosecuting parents for doing what's best for their children, providing them with educational experience, a quality educational experience, is why we put the issue on. So we met with Hamlet, and since day one, I reached out to Senator Gloria Mero in California, because she has been the parent and children champion since I met her in 2010 when Connecticut introduced the parent empowerment law. I found out that she was the author of it in California. I became her strongest supporter across the country and just engaged her in this conversation. And she has also supported Hamlet and Kelly Williams Ballar and other parents that have been faced with this issue from a former legislative position, helping us how to navigate the laws of the land so that we can get this law changed.
And I'm going to ask Senator Romero in a second, but I mean, to respond to you, that's the first case I heard about. Tuquen was the homeless woman who was arrested for that, and I was outraged. I think when I heard about that, I just couldn't believe it. And then really the surprise was after I learned about Hamlet's story that the same type of thing is happening. Honestly, we could go ahead, and this is a question I'm going to go ahead and ask Senator Romero. We could go ahead and maybe just fine a family for doing this, but to arrest them as a criminal for caring about their child's education, I think that's just ludicrous, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this is America. And in America, we know that the foundation of economic prosperity and the path to the American dream, what lifts people out of poverty, is an education. But I think what we're seeing, what really is, it's like an onion and we're peeling out the skin. And what we're finding is that for too many families, it's zip code, it's five digits that dictate essentially where a kid goes to school. And if your kid is in a particular zip code that's correlated with underperforming, you know, failing schools, then you're stuck. But you have somebody like Kelly Williams Ballar or Marie Menard who, you know, go into a better school district, the Garcia family that through no fault of their own, their child is in another district. It's absolutely incredulous to find a prosecutor so zealous as to go after parents for simply having their child in a better performing school. It's un-American.
Oh, it's absolutely un-American, and I just understand it. I mean, like I said, we go ahead and fine the parents for kids when they skip school, and sometimes a lot of times it's the parents' fault that they're not attending school. But we're talking about something where they care about the child's education, and it happens. So, Senator Romero, when you heard about especially Hamlet Garcia's case, you were outraged, right? Because I heard the entire story that there's no real case against him. He from the story that I was listening, talking to him last week, that this is just really crazy that they tried to do this to a few parents and then they just chose Hamlet to be the one who took the brunt of this, right?
Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like it is a selective prosecution against a family that has lived the American dream in terms of what their background represents. You know, I originally wrote parent empowerment laws when I served in the California legislature, including the nation's first parent trigger law that gives parents real rights to turn around chronically underperforming schools. I will go back to it that what I found in California and throughout the nation, as we've seen, is that parents, when you're locked in by zip code, are going to find ways to move out and to change. And I think we have to look at these zip code-based types of laws. Otherwise, you're probably going to find more and more parents that are going to start slipping through the cracks and perhaps being prosecuted and put into prison along with rapists and murderers for simply trying to give their children a quality education. This particular prosecution in Pennsylvania is based, I believe, on very flimsy evidence. We also know that other families in the same situation had their child enrolled in a school district outside of their zip code, and no charges were filed against him. So it seems like it's a very selective prosecution that is being handled against the Garcia family.
Absolutely. And Hamlet, I think it makes you happy to know that you have people that are really there for you. You talked about how you said some celebrities are tweeting you out. A lot of people seeing that this is really what Montgomery County is doing is discrimination in so many ways. And then I want to get to Gwen specifically after she studied more of the case and things and what their plan is to make sure that this doesn't occur again. So, Hamlet, it must feel great to have these people on your side.
It is. It is a good. I feel protected. I don't feel alone. And every day it helps me to wake up. And even if we cry, because we cry a lot, me, my wife, and my own daughter. My own daughter cry a lot because she knows what is happening. She knows what jail means. And you know what we're doing, what we're fighting for. So it's what happened behind the door in the house is what people don't know. But if the part that's more upset of this is, you know, we worry. We're fighting, we're strong, but we worry because we know that some people in Montgomery County are racial, and they are taking this very personal, and they should not be personal. What is personal about family giving education to a child in a public school when she was leaving and she just moved out 2 months before the school ended? I mean, this should not be happening in America. It's embarrassing. And I tell you again, an interview that I did in Miami to Radio Caracol, which is airing it overseas for Europe, I have people from overseas asking me, how is this possible? The America is doing this to you, and I have to defend my country, because I explained then that Montgomery County do not represent the United States of America. What they're doing is something completely wrong, but they don't represent the United States of America. This is something that I'm really very upset. And like Senator Romero said, all the 15 other families, nothing happened to them. They was having the same situation than me. The DA say that the reason why they didn't get arrested because they paid to the school, the tuition, all the way. Well, I always offer to pay the tuition, but where is the bill? You know, we know that when something is stolen, the first thing you get in your house is a bill. They never send me a bill. They never give me a bill in front of my face. I met the superintendent more than 2 times. They never provide me a bill when they ask it for, because from the first day, it was no intention for me to pay. They don't want me to pay. They want to just use me to make an example.
So, Gwen, when you did the research after hearing about the case, I think you really believe this is definitely discrimination against Hamlet, isn't it? Seems like, from what you've discovered.
Right. So when you look at this, we actually, in Connecticut, we have a non-minority, Marie Menard. She was a grandmother, so she was another case that came to the Connecticut Parents Union and asked us to help them, because this was a non-minority family. It was a Caucasian family. Her grandmother, the grandmother was arrested and convicted for sending her grandchildren to the school in her district. And so she's a homeowner and a taxpayer in the city, and they arrested her.
So we noticed that there were three federal concerns. Our attorney said there were three federal concerns here. Number one, equal protections and due process. Because in all of the cases, they don't arrest all people. Just like in Hamlet's case, in Kelly's case, and in Marie Menard's case, and in Tanya McDowell's case in Connecticut, there have been other cases between 15 and 20 families a school year that they just let go. They just, you know, you just please leave the school and they leave. No one's arrested. No one's prosecuted.
Right.
So as Senator Romero stated, it was very selective. There is no framework into how do you get to such heavy-handed extreme prosecution. And then when we do the research, we just notice that the law disproportionately targets African-American and Hispanic families.
Jeez.
Because it is a zip code-based law. And when you look at the number of low-performing and unsafe schools, they tend to be in your poorest neighborhoods. So then it became even more discriminatory when you look at socioeconomics. The state and a country can know a school is unsafe and tell a parent, you must put your child in an unsafe and non-performing, high-performing school, and if you try to get your child a good education, we're going to arrest you. It's fiscally irresponsible. It's not what this country, like we all state, it's not what this country is based on. And it's a fiscally unsound practice because it costs more to prosecute. We're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, of Philly tax dollars, to prosecute a case that costs at a minimum $1,000 and at a maximum $11,000. So that's how you know this is something else.
O'Neill, I just wanted to say that we have somebody else on the line. I think they just told me that we have a representative for Libera Nostra. Are you online?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you for telling me, Hamlet. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to go for our next segment, and then you can introduce the person, Hamlet, and we can ask her opinion as well and where we're going. And I think we're going to go globally on this so that Montgomery County learns their lesson that this is just not the thing to do, and this is not a thing to do with all the other cases as well, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Senator Romero's plan is, what Gwen's plan is, and also our other guests. You're listening to Toll Education Spotlight Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Toll Education Spotlight Show on the Toll Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and I feel very, very blessed to be able to do the show tonight for one reason, because I'm really finally going to be that advocate that I want to be as an educational advocate of special needs kids, seeing what is happening tonight, and to really want to send this interview out everywhere, all over the world, to know what's happening to Hamlet Garcia. But we're learning so much more about other parents that have been that are minorities being treated unfairly and put in prison just because their kids did not attend the right district, and a lot of times have not been warned or anything. So, Hamlet, I know you have another guest for our roundtable discussion, so go ahead and introduce her, please.
Yes, we have, I believe, Ungria is her name. She represents Libera Nostra, which is an organization that's located in Washington, D.C., and in Miami. And I think she's going to explain better of what they do and what they also want to help in my case with the complaint with the United Nations. Hi, how are you? Thank you for being here with us.
Hello. Hi, Mr. Garcia. My name is Donatella Ungred. I'm a spokesperson for the organization Libera Nostra.
Well, thanks for being on the show, and I want to ask how you are involved in this, and after you heard the story of Hamlet and how you've gotten involved and what your plan is next.
Okay, the first time I was aware of Mr. Hamlet Garcia's story was while he was giving an interview on a radio, an internet radio station called RadioNext.com. Libera Nostra is an organization based in Washington, D.C., and is presided by the former judge, Ms. Yuri Lopez. This is a nonprofit organization and founded to ensure the defense of human rights in the American continent. When I mean American continent, I mean North America, Central America, South America. Libera Nostra has the international representation for a number of political prisoners in Venezuela, Bolivia, and other countries. In this particular case, Rivera Lozia is present because Mr. Hamlet Garcia's family human rights have been violated. We are in front of an obvious racism case, discrimination case, for reasons of race, because the organization understands that his case has been brought to court, and despite other cases have been dismissed in other very simple ways, his specific case has brought before court, and he's in trouble with the law because of this.
Right, exactly, and so, the way they're going after him and while they let so many other people go.
That's right. What the organization is planning to do is to bring his case to the High Commissioner for Human Rights, Mrs. Navanet, PhDA. And also we are trying, the organization is trying to bring this case before the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights. Remember that the United States is signed also the Pact of San Jose, Costa Rica. This case violates the article number 1 of the American Convention of Human Rights. Let me quickly read it for you. The states parties to this convention undertake to respect the rights and freedoms recognized herein and to ensure to all persons subject to their jurisdiction the free and full exercise of those rights and freedoms without any discrimination for reasons of race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinions, national or social origin, economic status, birth, or any other social condition. In this case, we obviously see there is discrimination for reasons of race, color, and other, and mainly social origin for us, for the organization, I mean.
Well, and what you're saying is you're from your research and seeing how many people have been let go and how they're going after Hamlet. It's just absolutely ridiculous, and you definitely see that discrimination's happening here with Montgomery County, and you're going to take it to the highest level to make sure
that is
that. And now I know that there are plans both by Gwen and Senator Romero as well. So, Senator, what is your game plan now? What do you want to do to kind of not just put the heat on Montgomery County, but change laws as well across the country so that these things don't happen again?
Well, absolutely. Our first effort right now is to defend the Garcia family. We do not want to see the Garcia family basically become an American Les Miserables story, basically be sent to prison for 7 years for educating a child. That is an amazing, outrageous story. So our first effort is to defend the Garcia family and make sure that justice is served. But while we do that, we do want to raise the consciousness of other parents that have gone through similar types of issues. Kelly Williams-Bolar, who was prosecuted, Marie Menard, the Callahans in Illinois, who were threatened with arrest for having their child in a similar situation. We want to have people understand what zip code means in America and the need for us to fight back and to allow for greater parental choice in education. So we're going to look for laws. We're going to look for parents who are willing to stand up. We also want to encourage parents who have voluntarily moved their child away from a failing school and are outside of their district if they are willing to speak up and help us challenge these laws to change them ultimately in America. And so we join in California with the Hamlet Garcia family, Gwen Samuels, the National Parent Union, who's done an amazing job on mobilizing parents nationally to simply understand their rights and then have the courage to make the change in our state laws across the nation.
Absolutely. And what has have you been in contact with Secretary Arne Duncan or the president about this, what's been happening with the Garcia and the other cases involving zip codes?
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Gwen.
Okay. Yeah, so we had in late February, early March, we all created a sign-on letter that was addressed to Secretary Arne Duncan, also to the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights, and Eric Holder, the Attorney General for the U.S. Department of Justice. And we asked that this case be investigated. So we asked two prongs. First, that they look at zip code laws to see if they violate federal law, the educational federal law. And then we also asked them to look at the Garcia's case. So presently, they have submitted our complaint. It was in the form of a complaint, a discrimination complaint, and it was sent to the office, the U.S. Department of Education, Philadelphia Office of Civil Rights, which are currently reviewing the supporting documents that we sent to see if they are willing to investigate the Garcia's case in Philadelphia. And then we will be following back up with the U.S. Department of Justice office, because this is a civil rights issue. Because it clearly states in every state that all children have the right to a adequate, a free, and appropriate education. And it's just fiscally irresponsible to arrest parents for loving their children. And it's, and if you don't send them to school, you get charged with educational neglect.
Exactly.
And if you do send them to school, if a parent uses their choice to send their child to a safe school and a quality school, they can face arrest if it's outside of their school district. So this is a law that must be changed. And then in Connecticut, we will be bringing this court, this case, the Marie Menard case, before a federal judge. So if we get Mr. Garcia's case to be accepted in Arnie Duncan's camp with the Office of Civil Rights, that means we will be in federal court addressing this issue, and hopefully we will have a case being investigated by the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights.
Senator Romero, I know you had one other thing to say before Gwen did jump in. What about yourself? Have you been in touch with either President Obama or Secretary Duncan regarding these cases?
Well, we jointly signed this letter. It was an impressive letter that was submitted under the auspices of the National Parent Union. California Democrats for Education Reform joined in one of the signatories, requesting from the Department of Education and the Department of Justice an investigation into this particular case. Given that this is a civil rights issue, Department of Justice has responded to the National Parents Union, and we are awaiting a date there. So hopefully, as we move forward with the legal case that's going to court right now, we will have more information to be able to sit down with Justice and the Education Department.
Well, my hope is, again, we're going to continue to cover this case all the way to wherever we go. If we end up going to the Supreme Court, covering this Hamlet, and just know that we'll get everyone back on the line to update us as soon as new news comes. If it's 2 weeks from now, if it's a week from now, or it's a month from now, whenever we hear what's going on with your case, we want to definitely do that. And I think it's Donato. How do we pronunciate your name, ma'am, from the other guest?
Donatella. Donatella Ungreda.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your, so you were talking about where your game plan is. We kind of know of Senator Romero's game plan and Gwen Samuel's game plan. What is your game plan, especially regarding the Garcia case? You said you're going to take it to some certain places, but you have other, you want to go also to the UN as well with this?
As I mentioned at the beginning of my intervention, we are planning to bring this case to the High Commissioner for Human Rights and the UN, Mrs. Navanetem Pillay, and also before the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights. These kind of cases take time, but it is important for the organization to bring this case before them, because it is important that the United States, as the United States has signed the American Convention for Human Rights, they need to stick to what they signed for. And as the United States is the country where the human rights are best taken care of, we need to stick to that. There is no possibility whatsoever that inside the United States we give this kind of example to other countries. Law needs to be respected. and international law also need to be respected. In this case, Mr. Hamlet Garcia is being a victim, and his family are being a victim of discrimination, and this needs to be addressed as soon as possible.
Okay, so last point I'm going to make. Hamlet, I'm doing research on you news-wise by the major news, if we Google your name, and I'm going to ask each one of the panel members after yourself, why is it that the mainstream media is really not covering who you have for you, and it looks like they're taking Montgomery County's, side on all this?
In Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, you mean, right?
Yeah, in Philadelphia, which is the ends up what the Google search ends up coming up with most of the time.
Yes, like I told you in the last interview, we don't get any much support in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania in my case. I contact my Congress person in Pennsylvania. I contact my district, and no one want to help. And everything you see in the newspaper in Philadelphia is mostly in favor of Montgomery County. I think I explained to you last week that Montgomery County is a town that has some corruption problem, and I think that, you know, I don't see the help. You're right. I don't see the help, not even from the media in Philadelphia, the way they should be. And it's upset me. Upset me that it happened. And, I mean, there's not much I can do about that because I cannot tell the media what to do. But at least they cannot tell me to shut up.
Right.
I'm going to continue talking about my case. And if you give me the opportunity, and I'm very glad, I will come back to your show. And I will go back to Miami, Florida, speak in Miami and New York, any show that would like to give me the opportunity to speak, because I want to make sure that what happened to me
doesn't
happen again to any other parents. This is, I know there's many parents over there that are afraid to talk because they may be illegal or they're afraid that they're going to do something to them. I'll tell you the truth. I was afraid too. I'm a little afraid too. But just because I have a beautiful daughter, a 6 years old daughter, every time I look at her face, I forget that I'm afraid, and I get more powerful and more strong because no one is going to put me away from my child in jail for providing education to my child. This is wrong. It's unconstitutional to force parents to bring the child to an underperforming school. It's completely unconstitutional, okay?
Exactly. Let me go last thing before we run out of time and go to each one of the panel members and say, what do my listeners need to do to make sure that this is that Hamlet gets the right case and has the opportunity and for this never to happen to another family again with the zip code situation? So first, Gwen, what would your recommendation be for my listeners to get involved in this to make sure that we can change these laws? What is your recommendation?
So I understand it's hard for listeners because sometimes you hear the law and they think someone broke the law. They're looking at it from a criminal perspective that if it's a law, it must be right. But our country has some good history, some bad history, and some ugly history. And there were some laws that were on the book that we had to change. Women at first couldn't vote. In the 1920s, we had the women's suffrage movement, and women were able to vote. So just because it's a law, it doesn't mean it's right. That's number one. And number two, our economy is such in a state of affairs that we are outsourcing jobs all over the country and out of the country because we don't have a qualified workforce to draw from. So if race is not important to someone, our country cannot sustain the giving funding to schools that aren't meeting the needs of children. We have to educate all children equally and with high quality standards so that we can have the qualified skill sets that we need to rebuild our financial and our fiscal structure of the country. So it's imperative that taxpayers, whether you're black or white, whatever your religious beliefs are, that we must ensure our children are educated so we can help stabilize our very unstable fiscal foundation of our country. And most importantly, they are children, and they deserve a fair chance at an improved quality of life. We all have our degrees. Give our children a chance so that they can have an improved quality of life.
Great advice. What about you, Senator Romero? What would you recommend?
Well, I agree with what Gwen has stated. I would also add that I think it's important for listeners to contact the district attorney's office in Montgomery County,
yes,
to ask about these charges and to demand that these charges be dropped. There has got to be a resolution that does not include putting parents of a child into prison for up to 7 years, making convicted felons out of them, and forcing them to report for parole duty upon release from prison. This is no way to deal with this issue. So in addition to changing the law, I think it's important right now, the most important thing, contact the district attorney and ask, demand that these bogus charges be dropped.
And our representative from Libera Losa, what would you say? What would your recommendation be?
Okay, I, as a spokesperson for Libera Losa, which means more or less freedom now, law is important, but people need to understand that laws were made for people and not the people made for the law. So please exercise your criteria. Try to understand what is really important. And if education is what is the base for the future of this country, there needs to be, it is important for people to revise certain things. Okay, money is tight. The country has a really huge problems with economic, with budgets and lots of things, but all the world has the same problem. You do not need to go to legalisms. You go with the law. But again, in mind, keeping that laws were made for the people and not the people for the law. So please exercise some good reasoning here.
Okay. And I think Hamlet, the same thing. But I, my recommendation, I enjoy all your recommendations, and I want to get some information quickly. Is let's flood Philadelphia's media and just attack, saying that Montgomery County, you guys are going to look like fools once this whole thing comes out. And for my listeners to call all the media in Philadelphia demanding to have both sides of the story told, and for Montgomery County in general, even the little newspapers or whatever, protest and get people down to their courthouses and tell them this has to change. This is ridiculous. And last but not least, go to Secretary Arne Duncan, contact your local politicians and say that we cannot put people in jail for their child's education. You know, I wouldn't be upset if sometimes maybe some could be at fault, you know, get fined or something or warned. But to put someone in jail, considering them a criminal when they care about their child's education, that's our biggest problem. We are forgetting about our children's education. We look at more about money than education, and education is the key, the key for this, our country, and that's ridiculous. So really quickly, we're going to go right around the round table with information where we can find information on each one of our panelists. First of all, Hamlet, where can we find information on you?
You can always go to GarciaFamilyLDF.com, which is Garcia Family, L like Luis, D like David, F like Fram.com. Over there you can find information. Also, if you would like to help with a donation, because we do have a high cost with the attorney that we have, if anyone can provide a donation, I will be really thank you for that. My Twitter is @HamletGarcia17, and you can find me over there. And I also want to say something very quick, the education can be a luxury. It's an economic imperative that every family in America should be able to afford.
Exactly, absolutely. And Senator Romero, where can we find information on you?
On the web, we can be followed at DFERCA.org. That stands for Democrats for Education Reform, California.org. Also, we do have an active Twitter account. It's @DEFER_CA, and we welcome the conversation with your listeners.
Well, I'd like to have you back, Senator Romero, about education reform as well. So we're going to stay in touch for sure. And
Absolutely, thank you.
I mean, I have a big conversation and allow the other side to be involved in this as well, because I'm telling you that public schools are really against having the best choice for parents. And I'm a school choice huge person, and I get in fights all the time with friends of mine who are teachers that don't agree with this. So it's absolutely terrible. And Gwen, where can we find information on you?
Yes, you can visit us on the website at www.ctparentsunion.org. Our Twitter handle is at CT Parents Union. And it's also important to know that Connecticut Parents Union is an all-volunteer organization, and we did not expect to take on this case, this campaign, in our early stages of foundation building. So any donation is welcome to help us cover legal costs, to help us mobilize parents across the country, to help educate parents about their rights, their legal rights, to choose the best educational option for their children, because they're our children, so they should be our choice. So please feel free to make a donation on our website as well. All will go toward legal fees and help building a better educational system for all children across America and abroad.
And our last guest, and I apologize because we didn't get to introduce you at the beginning, where can we find information on you? I know you have a Twitter that we can follow, also a website.
Okay, for Liberenlos Ya, you can go to www.liberenlosya.com. I'll spell it for you. L as in London, I, B as in boy, E, R as in Rome, E, N as in Nancy, L as in London, O, S as in Susan, Y, A underscore, I mean .com. Because our Twitter account is also at Liberenlosya underscore.
Well, I really appreciate every one of you coming on, and if you want to discuss, what we're going to do is the Total Education Network's number one priority is to make sure that Hamlet is, again, the charges are eliminated, there's an apology that's made, and that we can make sure that no other family has this. So wherever we go in this process, if it's to the Supreme Court, to the UN, the Total Education Network will be here to update our listeners on the progress of what's going on. So I appreciate everyone coming on the roundtable discussion tonight and spending time explaining everything. And really, we're going to now mobilize, and we need to mobilize all over the world to make sure that this does not happen to another family again. So thanks, everyone, for calling.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, that was the Total Education Network, Total Education Spotlight Show. Have a great day. We'll talk tomorrow. Good day, everyone.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.